This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, we're getting more details on the situation in Poland. GOP civil war, Ron DeSantis' response to Donald Trump. Tonight, Trump may be announcing he's running for president, and Larry Krasner facing impeachment in Pennsylvania. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the show. A busy, busy afternoon with breaking news everywhere. We got it covered for you today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Russia is denying that anything was done deliberately. So the story right now, and again, there's, you know, reports that it may have been shrapnel. There's reports that it may not have even been Russian missiles. But I'm only going to just share with you what is being reported. And like anything else, what I say now at 4:05 is going to be different than what I say at 5:05. Most likely that is the nature of this. So we all got to take this with a grain of salt. But I want to make sure you know what's going on. And that is that, according to the Associated Press, they're reporting that Poland is saying Russian missiles struck a site in Poland 15 miles from the Ukrainian border. The Russian Defense Ministry denied being behind, quote, any strikes on targets near the Ukrainian-Polish border, and said in a statement that photos of purported damage have nothing to do with Russian weapons. A NATO official, speaking on the condition of anonymity, said the alliance was looking into reports of a strike in Poland. The United States National Security Council also said it was looking into the reports. As of right now, the United States of America has not confirmed that this happened. Polish government spokesman Piotr Mueller did not immediately confirm the information from the U.S. intelligence official, who spoke on condition of anonymity because of the sensitive nature of the situation. But they said top leaders were holding an emergency meeting due to a crisis situation. Now, here's what the Polish media is reporting at the time. As of right now, they reported that two people died Tuesday afternoon after a projectile struck an area where grain was drying in a Polish village near the border with Ukraine. Neighboring Moldova was also affected, and massive power outages are happening. Now, that's what they're reporting right now. Obviously, there's a lot of details on this. On social media, you got a lot of people banging the drums of war right now. Everybody needs to take a deep breath, calm down, figure out what happened here. And even if it was Russian missiles, if it was not intentional, that certainly should not necessarily trigger an Article 5 response by NATO. Secondly, the fact that two people died matters more probably in this than whether it was a Russian missile, shrapnel, or anything else. Because the reality is, if two people did die, and again, these are reports. We don't have anything confirmed. The United States of America has not confirmed anything. That will matter more in the story than what it was that actually happened. But I can tell you exactly what the people who have been arguing that we need to do more with Russia, they're going to use this, and they're going to argue the United States needs to do more here. And everybody has to take a very deep breath, because this could trigger World War III. I'm not exaggerating. It could. If remember something, there are a lot of forces in Washington, D.C., as we speak right now, the Pentagon and Capitol Hill And of course, there are people outside of D.C. in the world who want to see conflict, want to see the United States intervene, see NATO intervene in this fight. Zelensky has become a folk hero at this point. The cause of the Ukrainian people has become a cause celeb. And people, there's a number of people that want to see the United States engage militarily here, not just by money, not just by sending them weapons, but boots on the ground, fighting back, calling Putin's bluff and fighting. I am not in that camp. However, I see how this works. They use things like this to precipitate further engagement. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. I can't. But obviously, I know, I'm smart enough to know, and you are too, as you listen to this show, that there are phone calls right now in the Pentagon that are going off like crazy saying, we need to draw up battle plans. We got to start getting, we got to think about getting NATO engaged here. And there are going to be people that say, even if this was an accident, the point is, as long as Russia's invading Ukraine, we can't keep NATO safe and it has to be dealt with. You know that's happening. It's happening right now. Maybe you're in that camp. Perhaps you think that it's time for the United States of America to engage here and stop this once and for all. My fear, though, is we are dealing with a nuclear power. I don't necessarily subscribe to the theory that Putin is that easy to beat, nor that he would not use nuclear weapons. Nor do I subscribe to the belief that the United States of America has an obligation here. Which brings me to something else, too. The United States of America has always, in its past, there have been things that have triggered our involvement in these international crises, clearly, over time, where we started in a position where we said we were not getting engaged militarily, but then something happened that drove us in. And students of history know what I'm talking about. And a lot of those people study this in war college and everywhere else. And those are many of the same voices right now ringing the phone lines in the Pentagon and suggesting the United States has to do something. So while I would argue everyone needs to take a deep breath, I also know reality, which is there are going to be forces pushing for this to be the thing that leads the United States to engage militarily. Should it? I don't think so. Because in war, unfortunately, things like this happen that are accidental. But somebody who disagrees with me is going to say, and that's exactly why we need to do something. Because Ukraine borders a NATO country, and there's an obligation here to do something to ensure the safety of the Polish people. You're going to hear that, no doubt about it. So if there is a White House press briefing, we'll bring it to you live. If anything happens on the issue, we'll bring it to you live. We do have a clip of a, Matt, you said this was a State Department spokesman.
Yeah, this is, his name is Vedant Patel, and he is the principal deputy spokesperson of the State Department.
Okay.
Poland, these missiles, what do you know? I realize that the Pentagon and the NSC have already said that you're looking for information, but what can you tell us? Has the secretary been involved in any calls? Anyone else?
So I don't have any calls from the secretary to read out and would echo what our colleagues at the White House have said on this as well, which is that we have seen these reports out of Poland and are working with the Polish government and our NATO partners to gather more information. We can't confirm the reports or any of the details at this time, but I can assure you we will determine what happened and what appropriate next steps would be, but I don't have anything additional to offer at this point.
Okay. I guess that pretty much is going to end this line of questioning, for at least for me, because I don't think you're going to say anything else, so I'll pass it on to someone else.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. So we're all waiting to find out what the United States of America is actually going to say on the issue, and once that happens, of course, we'll bring it to you live. Closer to home, Pennsylvania has now, the state committee, the House, has voted to impeach the embattled District Attorney Larry Krasner. This will then have to go to the full legislature, obviously, and need two-thirds to remove Krasner. That's going to be an uphill battle, no question about it. But it's a good sign that at least that Republicans are saying we need to go on the record here and we got to deal with the fact that this guy, Larry Krasner, is the cause of the problem in Philadelphia. And you've seen this across the country with these woke district attorneys who have done everything in their power to let criminals go and to be the ones who take the side of the criminals and not the side of the police and not the side of the community. Larry Krasner in Philadelphia is the classic example of that. Like Alan Bragg is in New York, like that district attorney was in San Francisco who got booted out, like what's happening in Chicago, like what's happening in so many of these blue cities. The district attorney is the root of the problem. George Soros funded progressive district attorneys who are soft on criminals because they believe the criminals are the victims. And now the House has at least voted to impeach Krasner. At least everybody can begin talking about the issue and at least begin talking about the fact that, yes, from their perspective, Larry Krasner is the problem. And that's a good thing because he is the problem. You know, another point, too, to make on the battle that Republicans have, the uphill battle. I've often talked about how late night, quote unquote, comedy shows are not funny. They're not comedy shows now. They have become progressive tools, whether it's Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or Seth Meyers or any of these other shows. Well, Newsbusters did an analysis of this. Do you know that during the midterm elections, the various late night, quote unquote, comedy shows featured 47 liberal guests and 0.0 conservative guests on late night during the fall campaign? They looked at the Daily Six late night comedy shows, ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live, NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers, and The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and The Late Late Show with James Corden, and Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Fox's Gutfeld was not included. And by the way, Gutfeld beats all of those shows in the ratings. And for a reason, because the American people want to laugh and they don't want to be shoved liberal propaganda down their throats as they're trying to fall asleep. So here's what they did. They divided the guests into two categories, partisan officials and then journalists and celebrities. When it came to the count of politicians, the count was 21 Democrats to 0 Republicans. Stephen Colbert led with 7. Trevor Noah was second with 5. Seth Meyers had 4 Democrat candidates on. Jimmy Fallon had 3. And James Corden and Jimmy Kimmel had 1. Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Texas Democratic gubernatorial nominee Beto O'Rourke, those were the guests who appeared multiple times during the length of the study. Interviews were typically very friendly. Jimmy Fallon joked with the Clintons about how Trump was terrible about keeping documents secure, completely avoiding Clinton's own security scandals with her emails and everything else. Seth Meyers began his Kamala Harris interview with this tribute, quote, "You as an administration, you have accomplished a great deal despite only having a 50-50 Senate." I mean, that is a tough, tough way to start an interview, am I right? When it came to journalists and celebrities, the result was 26 liberals to 0. Stephen Colbert was the most partisan with 11 progressives on. Trevor Noah came in second at 7. Meyers and Fallon were third at 3. Kimmel and Corden again tied for 5th with 1 each. Of those guests included CBS's Gayle King, ABC's unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, HBO's John Oliver, and New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman each had multiple appearances. By outlet, CNN and CNN International led the way with 6 appearances. CBS and the New York Times tied for 2nd with 3 appearances. HBO, MSNBC, ABC, and PBS each had 2, while NPR and Comedy Central each had 1. No one is surprised that Fox News had 0. Greg Gutfeld, nobody from Fox News, nobody from any of those outlets, nobody was ever on a late night comedy show. Not Dana Perino, nobody. To see the complete list of guests with links, they have this here below. So Stephen Colbert had the following lefties on his show throughout the campaign. Alex Wagner, Tony DeCupo, Gayle King, Nita Totenberg, George Stephanopoulos, Ken Burns, John Oliver, Clarissa Ward, Anderson Cooper, Maggie Haberman, Nicole Hannah-Jones, Pete Buttigieg, Samantha Power, Nancy Pelosi, Anthony Fauci, Cody Keenan, Elizabeth Warren, and Ernst Moniz. And by the way, having Elizabeth Warren on as America's trying to fall asleep, putting America's mother-in-law on the TV right before people try to go to bed is just cruel, in my opinion. Trevor Noah had George Stephanopoulos on, Christiane Amanpour, Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, Michael Fanone, Chelsea Manning, Soledad O'Brien, Elizabeth Banks, Marty Walsh, Beto O'Rourke, Cori Bush, Stacey Abrams, and Raphael Warnock. Seth Meyers had Gayle King, John Oliver, Jake Tapper, Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Kamala Harris, and Bernie Sanders. At least Bernie's funny. Jimmy Fallon had on Rachel Maddow, Trevor Noah, Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Sigourney Weaver, and Jen Snarks Saki. Jimmy Kimmel had Beto O'Rourke. James Corden had on Pete Buttigieg, among other liberal guests, too. So you see what I mean when I tell you that these late night shows have been nothing but an apparatus for the Democrat National Party. And they're not funny, and they don't try to be funny. They're basically an extension of MSNBC. If you'd like to laugh, however, come to Parks Thursday night, as we're having our comedy show, Joe Conklin's comedy show, this coming Thursday at Parks Casino. It's almost sold out, and it will sell out. So if you actually want to laugh and not be shoved progressive propaganda, come out Thursday night. It's going to be a fun time with comedians who may make you uncomfortable at times, but at least they're going to be funny. And that's the key point. I will be your co-host for the evening, along with MC Mike Baldini, this Thursday, 8 p.m., Club 360 at Parks Casino. And they're going to have on some great comedians, and tickets are only $20, includes your drink, your first drink. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Just go to Parks, P-A-R-X, parkscasino.com/comedy. You must be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And that's going to be Thursday night. There's more on this media bias, too. But really, I want to come. I want you to come. It's a lot of fun. We always have a great time at these things. You can ask Sid. He's been to almost every one. There's always craziness that ensues. And you'll meet like-minded people, and you'll have a lot of fun. It'll be great. They did another study at Newsbusters, the dangerous partisanship of TV's midterm coverage. And what they looked at was the way that the TV networks have all been for Team Blue. They look at the same time period as they did in 2018. They use September 1st to October 26th of this year. The big three evening newscasts aired 115 stories which mentioned or discussed the midterm elections, with a total of 213 minutes, about 60% more than 4 years ago. And here are some key findings. Back in 2018, President Trump was a huge focus of network coverage. They were trying to bury him, as you can imagine. This year, they all gave Biden a pass. Back in 2018, Donald Trump accounted for the majority of all campaign airtime in 2018. The networks this year, with Joe Biden, just 34 minutes or 16% of total campaign coverage. Why? Because Biden's a failure, and they didn't want to talk about the fact that he's a failure. And there was virtually no debate about the successes or failures of the Biden presidency, as one would normally expect. TV's 2022 campaign stories included just 9 evaluative comments about President Biden, 2 positive, 7 negative, or 78% negative spin. Despite the fervor TV coverage 4 years ago, going into the midterm elections, where the media spent nothing but trashing President Trump almost nightly, this time around, they barely mentioned Joe Biden. And remember, this is what I mean. A lot of Americans, sadly, still get their news from ABC, CBS, and NBC, if you can call it news. But that's, you know, that's where things are right now with all this. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. We've got 45 minutes of nonstop talk for you. I see on Fox News, Jackie Heinrich is discussing the fact that Joe Biden did not attend the G20 dinner last night. According to the Associated Press, the chyron on Fox News is still missiles landed NATO member Poland, killing 2. As of right now, the stock market is up, and there's a lot of reaction to what's happening with the breaking news around that. We'll continue to keep you covered throughout the entire show. But when Newsbusters look at what the media was talking about, they showcase Democrat agenda. They spent most of their time on the big three networks on the nightly news shows discussing Roe v. Wade, discussing how women were afraid about abortions going away. They became and named abortion as one of the most important problems facing the country. Barely any coverage of the economy in contrast. So not only were they working to put Democrats first, they were working to put the Democrats' agenda first on the big three networks as well. And then, of course, you still got the late night stuff where they were doing the exact same thing. Jimmy Kimmel actually had his wife come on the day before Election Day and talk to everybody in the room that night and the millions of people tuning in about why abortion was the most important issue for them to consider going to the polls tomorrow. Actually gave up part of his show for his wife to come out and lecture everybody on abortion. This is what I mean. So not only do they focus on the Democrat candidates, not only do they cover up for Biden's mistakes, not only do they cover up for the economy, they push the issues that the Democrats want to be talked about front and center, and they all go in with the fear-mongering about abortion and everything else. That's what's happening on the big network channels. All right, I'm breaking. Stop yelling at me. We'll be right back. Don't worry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I got in trouble. I went too long. I didn't break on time. Sorry. I went in the studio and DeSantis and Henry are yelling at me. Did you take a breath already?
I asked politely. Henry was like, just looked like a rabid dog.
Yeah, you didn't look up the entire time. That whole spiel you went on, you are focused, locked in. I'm in here jumping, waving, screaming.
You know, you can talk in my ear.
I understand.
Right?
Oh, I don't want to break your focus.
But are you jumping up and down and waving your arms wouldn't break my focus?
It is slightly amazing that you didn't see him. I mean, he was carrying on.
I can't because there's a glare. Look at that glare.
What glare?
I can't see it from my end.
All right, so.
Turn the lights off.
Oh, you have to do the show in the dark? I can barely read as it is. So just see, the way the studio is set up is I face the control room, which is where executive producer Matt DeSantis is and associate producer Henry is. And the way that the lights are right now, I can only see myself. I'm staring at it's like a mirror image right now. I can see you, DeSantis. I can barely see you, Henry. I'm like reflecting off the glass, in other words.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, if you think it's okay to jump up and down like you're waving down an airplane to get my attention, why can't you just speak into my ear?
It's different. It's a different train of thought. If I speak in your ear, you might like hesitate for a second. If you just look up, you can keep talking. You know what I'm saying?
I look over, Henry looks like there's a fire going on. He's like literally jumping up and down, waving his arms. And then he gives me the break sign, which is you take your two hands together and you take them apart. Like, break. He's going, break, break, break. Okay, all right. I'm breaking. So I broke late. Now I got to break early.
He didn't look like there was a fire. It looked like he was on fire.
He was looked sweating. Like he had a pee really bad or something. That's what it looked like. I'm just saying. Well, I will make sure to, we stick to the breaks. No problem. So my next break is when?
In a minute.
In a minute and 15 seconds. All right. I can't do anything in a minute and 15 seconds. I literally can't, except I can make fun of Matt DeSantis. You know why?
Why? That doesn't make any sense. There's no reason. Make fun of Henry. He's the one jumping around in here.
I can make fun of DeSantis in a minute because Yellowstone had the highest numbers of any show in their premiere.
Ooh.
Number one of any show, beat everything. DeSantis doesn't like it.
I didn't say
that. He's the only person in America who doesn't like Yellowstone.
No, that is not accurate.
Crushed it in the ratings.
I didn't.
Massive audience appeal for the season 5 premiere of Yellowstone.
It's fine. It's a fine show. It's not my cup of tea.
Biggest numbers yet, and you're sitting home eating brioche and watching what? Downton Abbey?
I don't watch
Downton
Abbey.
That's what you were doing.
No,
you seem like a Downton Abbey kind of guy.
I don't even know what that show is.
Do you wear
is.
A costume when you watch Downton Abbey? Do you dress up like a 18th
century? Have a cup of tea and a biscuit.
With your brioche biscuits?
No.
Is that what you do?
All of this is false. This is anti-Matt propaganda, and nobody should believe any of it.
This is disinformation right now. We are running a disinformation campaign. All right, I'm going to tell you about Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling so I don't get into more trouble. Winter is right around the corner, and now is the perfect time to tune up your heating system. So call my friends at Professor Gatsby's today. It's easy, fast, and the smart thing to do for your home and your family's comfort. It's a company that I use and trust, and only $49 to get that furnace tuned up. Or you can get a free estimate to replace your system with 0% interest. Head into the cold of winter knowing that your family will be cozy all season long. And when it comes to my heating and air conditioning, the only company that I use and trust is Professor Gatsby's. They are local, family-owned and operated. And when I call Professor Gatsby's, they know me and treat me like family. So reach out to them today. You'll be very happy with the great work they do. And remember, with rising energy prices, you want to make sure that furnace is tuned up and ready to go and is not costing you money. So call them today. Just go to profgatsby.com, P-R-O-F Gatsby, Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling. 45 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
We got a lot going on. A lot going on. Governor Ron DeSantis responding to President Trump's attacks on him. Quote unquote attacks, of course. And we're going to talk about all that. Great balls of fire, baby. Turn it up. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Great balls of fire may be the nuclear hellfire that happens after World War III. Very appropriate for the conversation today after Russian missiles apparently struck in Poland, killing two people. That's the report out of Poland. We'll continue to follow that, monitor it for you, bring you any developments. Ray is in New Jersey. Ray, what's going on today?
Hey, Rich. Disclaimer, I'm sitting outside trying to hide from my wife because I'm in the Oakland territory. She's a staunch Democrat, so I'm running in the backyard trying to talk because if she picks me out, she's going to not give me a stick. It's not Omaha steak, which I'm trying to work on.
Good.
However,
use my name, Zioli. You'll save some money.
I don't want to lose more than just steak, you know, so you know where I'm going, but I'm going to leave that for another week.
You're a smart man.
And anybody who doesn't like Yellowstone, something is wrong with you. Based on your recommendation,
see?
I've been watching Yellowstone, and so whoever doesn't like it, you need to go see your primary doctor. Now, I will say this, based, I digress. Now, back to Yellowstone and with the line that I heard from the episode. If you don't play the game will play you. If you don't play the game will play you. And my thing is, as you said, and I agree with you, look, this mail-in balloting is not going anywhere anytime soon. If you want to change it, well, you have to change the rules. If you want to change the rules, well, you have to win. If you want to win, then you have to play the game before the game plays you. So Republicans, get on it. Start doing your groundwork and figure this thing out so that you don't get outplayed. You know, I don't want to talk too much. I love you. I'm going to call you every week. I don't know how many times I can call you because I'm surrounded by liberals and I don't want to get exposed if I lose my job. Because if I lose my job, you have to hire me. But I'm just saying,
you'd be a great addition to the show, I think, Ray.
I'm not worried about Trump or dissent. My thing is, when you look what's happening in Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona, there are rules. It's a system. And so you have to figure out a way to get in control of the system, or you have to play the game and be smart about it. And that's my take tonight. And I was just wondering what you would think about somebody like a Tim Scott to jump in the race. I mean, it's going to probably mess things up. I don't know. But you
know, I love Tim Scott.
I know you love his story. So I will see. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? And, so I'm about to run back in the house because my wife is making a steak. And if she hears me talking to you, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, Rich, but you better find a job for me because when the people who I work for know that I'm talking to you, I might lose my job.
Well, Ray, God bless you, buddy. Thank you. Great call. Excellent work. I'm glad you like Yellowstone. And I love your analogy. I think it's very apropos. You got to play the game.
Thank you, Rich.
You got
Thank
it, Ray.
You.
Go hide from your
show.
Wife.
I'm running back in the house.
All right, run back in the house, Ray. Good man. I like that. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Greg's in Chestnut Hill. Greg.
Hello, Rich. Hello, guys. Hey, Rich, the show is magnificent. I got to tell you right now, every time I listen to it, the show has the alacrity of a prison riot. Everybody is doing their own thing. How many shivs do each of you have in your pockets under the computer? Everybody's. This is a free for all. Right? This is a beautiful thing. Henry's throwing down on Matt. Matt's all rich. You're breaking both their stones. Then they're going at it, and then you're. This is a beautiful thing, dude.
Yeah, I throw gasoline on the match. You know.
Oh my goodness, you kidding me? And then when it finally calmed down, that show reminds me of an old commercial back in the day about it was like Amoco transmission, a car company, and the guy's looking, calls up, he's on the phone, and he's looking for his vehicle. Is it fixed yet? And the guy on the other end says, I have my three best men on it. And you got these three slovenly guys just laying on the car, eating lunch and not doing anything. And it's pure chaos. So keep up the good work with all your great guests and all your people. I love chaos sales, brother. And it's selling rather well. Just keep fighting. Right? Nunchucks. Get some nunchucks, one of you guys, when it gets in like a little tighter. You know what I mean? You need nunchucks. Brass knuckles, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
roll
listen.
Quarters in your hand.
I'm with you, brother. I think that's good, but I'm surrounded by it, you know what I mean? And my blood pressure goes up. The absolute incompetence. It's just too much to handle.
All right.
No, I would like to see your face, because your face goes to, you're probably red as a tomato, and then whomever can see you first gets on your side to throw the other one under the bus. Yo, this is mutiny on the bounty, bro. I don't know who's going off first. I don't
always take the host side. That's the rule. I mean, you got to be, you know what I mean? That's just what you do. You just take the side of the host and you win. So, well done, Greg. As always, we appreciate your calls and listening, buddy.
See you later.
You have a great day. Yeah, 12.1 million people tune in for Yellowstone. Matt DeSantis is binge watching Downton Abbey. But luckily, unfortunately, I can't let Matt respond because we have a guest on right now. And I want to welcome John Hook to the show. John wrote a great piece that I'm very, very happy to talk to him about, because John has a great idea to save Pennsylvania, get rid of Philadelphia. John, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Rich, how are you in beautiful Philadelphia?
Well, there's nothing beautiful about it. The skies are gray. It's pitch black out right now. And John, you've covered the media in this state for quite a while, and you know it inside and out. It's great to have you on the show, because I thought what you said about Pennsylvania and the difference between Pennsylvania and Philadelphia is just so spot on. So many people after Election Day kept saying the same thing to me. Rich, the problem's Philadelphia. The problem's Philadelphia. And then I saw you lay it out for us.
Well, you know, Rich, In the column, I point out the thing that you've been around the political spectrum for a long, long time. And you know what all of the insiders know. And what the insiders know is that if you win in a statewide election or anything for statewide in the state of Pennsylvania, if you win Philadelphia at a 4-1 rate and then win like the three surrounding counties, Bucks, Montgo, and or Delaware, then you have almost an insurmountable lead. So in terms of, you know, and that's what I talked about in the article and used in that thing. Obviously, you have a situation where Philadelphia is 0.3% of the landmass of the state of state of Pennsylvania, but includes 12% of the population. And so that creates this outsized influence, to the entire state, that, you know, the rest of us, the millions of us out here in the farmland, as it were, you know, have to deal with sometimes being under the thumb of Philadelphia when, you know, that's really not the way we look at things. So,
yeah, I mean, you're right. And the problem, I think, in a lot of states have this problem where you've got one city that dominates everything politically. I mean, New York's very similar to Pennsylvania in that respect. I mean, people in upstate New York can't stand New York City, and they'd love to see it go, because as goes New York City, is going to go the whole state. And it's the same thing with Philly in that sense. And, I can only imagine the frustration that people feel outside of it. So I'll ask you this question. Do they think that the system in Philadelphia is fair?
Well, the people that I'm close friends with and everything don't think that the system in Philadelphia is fair. And that's kind of why at the end of the article, you know, obviously the opportunity, as you said, you know, New York has been trying to get the state of New York, upstate New York, has been trying to become New Brunswick and get a state unto itself, or whatever, you know, whatever they're calling it, and New Amsterdam. That's what it is.
Right.
And try to get rid of New York City. And they've been trying to do that for 50 years or more. But that, you know, and obviously they haven't been successful, and the opportunity for us to get rid of Philadelphia isn't probably going to happen. But there are some things that we can look at, and you know, the General Assembly, that was what I talked about at the end of the article, is the General Assembly has a redundancy in both the Senate and the House, in that all of the people in those two chambers are elected by population. They're distributed by population, where, you know, the federal system uses a setup where the Senate gets two for every state, regardless of how many people are in, and then the House gets the based on the population. So we could do the same sort of thing in Pennsylvania, where the Senate would be set up by each senator getting a county. Each senator would be responsible to a county, and then the House would stay just exactly as it is. And that kind of will ameliorate, you know, that could ameliorate that, you know, that Philadelphia effect that I called it in the, you know, in the article. So that's what I would suggest.
It's a very good idea. It would level the playing field for people in terms of people live in rural parts of PA. I feel like they don't have a voice right now. John Hook is with me. John is the president of the Hook Group, which is a local management consulting firm. He spent 25 years in executive management and marketing positions, and he lives up in Ferguson Township. He wrote for statecollege.com, The Philadelphia Effect. And I love the fact that not only do you quote Dr. Strange, because I'm a Marvel aficionado, at least the first three phases, not this terrible fourth phase, but the first three. And then you also you offer Philadelphia up to New Jersey, which you might, at this point, I mean, as a guy who lives in Jersey, I got to turn around and say, no, thanks. We have our own problems, man.
Well, my son was, you know, I said in the article that, you know, I don't hate Philadelphia. I lived at 21st and Arch years ago in the 80s for a year when I was out of college. And we lived in Yardley for a number of years. And my son was actually born in Trenton. So, you know, I didn't really want to diss on New Jersey so much. And some of my friends have since gone back to me and said, you know what, maybe what you should have suggested was that Mason and Dixon got it wrong, and Philadelphia really belongs in Delaware. But, you know, in any case,
that's the compromise. You put Philadelphia in Delaware because Delaware has no chance. And then everybody can take a sigh of relief.
Exactly.
I like it. I like it, John. Well, listen, man, it's good to laugh about this stuff, but you do point out something very important, which is that the way that the system is set up, a lot of people's voices are not being heard in Harrisburg because of the situation. And I think that it's only going to get worse, as it looks like the Democrats are about to take control of the state house.
Yeah. Yes. And again, you know, you look, I mean, you know, we used that red and blue thing, and that's whoever came up with that, ABC or whoever it was, you know, however many years ago, decided to start coloring things red and blue. And, you know, you look at the map of Pennsylvania from the votes and you know, it's mostly red. And, you know, Fetterman loses 13 out of 67 counties. You know, Shapiro loses 17 out of 67 counties. Wins only 17 out of 67 counties. And yes, so you've got people all around the state that are not being heard, that are not being given the opportunity to have an input into, you know, these decisions. And so what can we do about that?
I mean, that's amazing when you think about these guys lose the overwhelming majority of the state that they are representing now as governor and senator, respectively. I mean, that's an amazing number when you break it down like that, John.
Yeah, it is. And as you noted at the beginning of our conversation, it's not a unique situation to the state of Pennsylvania. There's an urban and, you know, suburban rural dichotomy happening throughout the country. And, you know, when you have populated areas and unpopulated areas of states, and, you know, New York, as you said, is a perfect example of a similar situation. But you can go across the board. And if, you know, and you know as well as anyone that if you color these things red and blue on the county level, things look a whole lot different for a lot of states that get colored blue, you know, when you're going on the state level. So, it's a thing where, you know, we have to figure out how we can satisfy both things. And I think at the state level, you know, the federal system of the way the House and the Senate are divided in terms of the way they are elected, I think, you know, that's a way that could help, like I said, ameliorate that for the state of Pennsylvania in terms of allowing a little bit better representation, as it were.
Yeah, well said. John Hook, it's an excellent piece that you wrote for statecollege.com. I'll post a link to it, and let's have you back on the show, man. This was fun.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Rich. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, John Hook. Thank you, buddy.
You're in the middle of 45 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the Odyssey app.
You know, on that point about Philadelphia, this is a report from Fox News how Mexico actually used Philadelphia street footage in an anti-drug ad. We have the news report from FoxNews.com or Fox News. Cut number one. Take a listen.
Yes, Andrew, good afternoon. So far, nothing. The Mexican government has not acknowledged that it is using footage shot of real people in Philadelphia in their new national anti-drug TV ads. The ads never identify the city, but the scenes are noticeably from Kensington, an infamous Philly neighborhood operating as an open-air drug market, particularly for heroin. Now, two of the ads show homeless people as well as drug users laid out on the ground, barely walking or slumped over. A spokesperson for Mexico's president said the ads are meant to warn young people of the effects of drugs like fentanyl and meth.
In the United States, there is a crisis due to the use of fentanyl that generates more than 80,000 deaths a year. And so we are preventing the expansion of fentanyl from reaching our country.
The deadly irony here is that the record amount of fentanyl flooding the streets of U.S. cities comes from Mexico through our southern border, of course. Drug overdose deaths in 2021 were the highest they've ever been in Philadelphia. 1,278 people dead, 77% from fentanyl poisonings. Now, this is an embarrassing spotlight on Philadelphia, and Mayor Jim Kenney released a statement saying in part, quote, "It is always hard to see our city's people and neighborhoods portrayed in a limited and negative light. No neighborhood and no person should be defined by this tragic and widespread crisis. We acknowledge there is a great deal of suffering and more work to be done to help the communities affected by drug trade and substance use." The mayor has embraced harm reduction techniques, Sandra, offering free Narcan through vending machines and supports proposals for supervised injection sites.
So our problem is so bad that even Mexico is turning around and saying, don't be like Philadelphia. Don't be like Philly. It's that bad. And yes, of course, the problem is coming from the open border as a big part of the problem. No question about it. But even the cartels think Philadelphia is too bitch of a problem. So much so, in fact, that Philadelphia has a problem with these open air drug markets, which I heard John McNesby on with Dom today, FOP Lodge 5 president, who said, look, the cops could shut this down in a heartbeat, but they're not allowed to. The city of Philadelphia has just announced the city is going to be moving to have civilians take on the roles of police officers as Philadelphia struggles with an officer shortage. Was this not the plot of Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol? Was it not? Which, by the way, could be the movie tomorrow. I'm almost convinced Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol was this very plot point. I need to go back and watch that again. I think it was Police Academy 4, right? Steve Guttenberg? Let me look this up here. Police Academy. Were you going to know Citizens on Patrol, Police Academy 4 here? Yep, Citizens on Patrol. That's right. Let's pull this one up here. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. The Misfit Police Academy graduates now are assigned to train a group of civilian volunteers to fight crime, once again plaguing the streets. The movie got 4.9 out of 10, was not one of the better Police Academy movies. And but yes, yeah, Steve Guttenberg, Bubba Smith, Michael Winslow, David Graff, Tim Kaczynski, Sharon Stone, Leslie Easterbrook, Marion Ramsey. This is a whole, I mean, what a fantastic, Bobcat Goldthwait was in it. Just a great crop of actors here. But the fact now that this has become the reality in Philadelphia is just amazing. Philadelphia, Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
I have a question, Rich.
Yes.
Since you've obviously seen the movie, did putting Citizens on Patrol reduce the crime rate? Were they successful?
I don't think they were, nor will this work either. I just sent you the trailer for it, Matt DeSantis. We should play the trailer for Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol. Philadelphia. So not only is Mexico using Philadelphia in the footage to warn people about drugs, we're using ideas from a bad 1980s Hollywood cop comedy in the city of Philadelphia to deal with the crime problem. That's very effective. And you know what John McNesby said to this? He goes, we can't find enough cops to do the job. So they're not worried about this from a perspective of actually worrying about the police job security. They can't find enough cops who want to do the job in the city. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to be a cop in the city. The district attorney is looking at you, not the criminals. The mayor doesn't have your back. You got a target on your back every day. I wouldn't want to be a cop here. I understand why there's a recruitment problem. I say God bless each and every one of these brave men and women who wear the badge in this town, because this is a bad city. This is a tough city to be a cop in. But hiring civilians is only going to make things worse. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to help, because at least cops are trained and they don't go into this to try to be Rambo. And I think part of the problem of the plot line exposed in Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol was that maybe some of the citizens got a little too into the job, if you know what I mean. Here's the trailer. Take a listen.
Those talented graduates are back in Police Academy.
Oh! I want to welcome all of you to
Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens on Patrol.
The Police Academy has offered to train you citizens.
You just don't think I'm fat enough anymore, do you?
To better protect yourselves.
Do we get to pack heat?
Attention all cars, attention all cars.
Mahoney.
Gee, I love saying that.
Jones. Hightower. Sweet Chuck. Zed. And Tackleberry.
Please!
Good idea.
From now on, by land.
You have the right to remain silent.
Who's gonna save me?
By sea or by air, there's no escaping justice.
Gentlemen, may I see your license and registration, please?
I can blast them out of the sky, sir.
Not yet.
I should give them a warning shot first.
Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Now be careful, because a 44 Magnum has quite a kick.
See it in your neighborhood while...
There you go. It's happening in Philadelphia as we speak. Fiction becomes reality in the city of brotherly love. There you go. I would like to have Bobcat Goldthwait protect the streets, but...
I'd rather have a masked vigilante who's secretly a, you know, Playboy billionaire, wear a bat suit and fight crime instead of citizens trying to make arrests here.
I'm surprised we don't have that yet. Like, Chicken Man could morph into that.
Sure,
I feel like.
Why not?
He was the hero that the city needed.
He was the hero that the city needed, but not the one it deserved.
Get him trained by the League of Shadows, all right? And then we'll come back.
You know, the problem with some guy trying to become Batman is in this city, you know that Larry Krasner would have everybody going after Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
He'd have the Batman Brigade and everybody would be out there. They would put the bat light signal up on the Comcast Center. They would have it shining into the, and then when Batman showed up, they would lock him up.
He's no Harvey Dent.
No, he's no Harvey Dent. You're right. And even I meant that before Harvey Dent became Two-Face, obviously.
Of course.
What are we, seven? We're only doing this because the stupid city's actually using citizens to protect the streets. So now we're on a Batman conversation. No, but think about it. I mean, they would have Batman go to the roof of City Hall and there'd be Krasner and the gang going, "We got him."
Yeah.
And then they try to release every criminal that Batman ever beat up in the streets of Philadelphia.
Oh, the Joker would be free almost instantaneously.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Larry Krasner would open the gates to Arkham Asylum and let all those lunatics out. The Joker, the Riddler, Harley Quinn, they'd all be back on the streets. Killer Croc would be roaming the streets again.
He'd be arguing that they deserve second and third chances.
Yeah. The Penguin would be running Kensington without any problems.
Spreading the fear toxin all over town.
The fear toxin's already being spread over town. We don't even need to have Scarecrow spread his fear toxin. It's already happening. No, I like the idea, actually. If we're gonna go down the line of movie plots, then can we at least get a billionaire to just go out and kick some ass as a crime fighter, please? Can we just do that at least? If I was going to be Batman, I would never pick Philadelphia. No way. No chance. Because the Batmobile will get carjacked. That's what would happen. You know it would. They wouldn't be afraid of the Batmobile. They'd see the Batmobile and be like, "Let's jack it."
Yeah.
And then Batman would have to deal with the fact that the Batmobile is now on a cargo ship to Africa. You know what I mean? Or they're going to strip it for parts. It's going to Libya. And he just wants the grappling hook back. It'd be a terrible thing. They would jack the Batwing. Ah. We live in the dumbest times ever. 855-839-1210. But you know what? We got to have a laugh at least because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's do this.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.